The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
He's looking. Martinez. Under pressure. He throws back at the end zone. Caught.
Welcome to it. Great to have you in weekend edition. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. I'm hiccuping. Not for that reason. Forgive me. What heartbreak, man. And what a ball game yesterday in Iowa City on Black Friday. We have a couple of hours to talk about it. Mark Kranak going to be with us here in a minute. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. And hope you had an incredible Thanksgiving feast with your family on Thursday, and you got your fill of football on Friday. Nebraska trying to get to 5-7 and take down one of the teams that, well, pushed them around and has pushed them around for the last several years in Iowa. A field goal at the buzzer from 41 yards does in the Big Red, 31-28. Can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Numbers to dial up. Can find us on the ESPN Lincoln app. Take us with. And, of course, on ESPN FM 101.5, 1480 AM. Here's what's coming up. In an hour, we'll run down Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. We'll find Gary Sharp, get the Iron Horse's thoughts on Nebraska, Iowa. And Colton, jump on here, brother. We're trying to connect to Kranak via Skype, correct?
Yes, we're attempting.
Is it time to get a tack hammer or a claw hammer out for the computer?
Yes.
Okay, let's try him on the good old landline.
Yep, that's what I was just about to do.
Good there. Let's start off, though, with cut two here. We'll have plenty of Scott Frost and his post game from Iowa. I'll have my thoughts. Mark Kranak, I'll have his thoughts. Colton will jump in with his take on yesterday. But Coach Frost asked in front of the media yesterday, you know, kind of give us your thoughts on what did you tell the team and what did you see from yesterday?
Disappointed, but very prideful. I got some fighters in there, and we need fighters. We've been missing a little bit of that, and that team is getting a point that they expect to win, hate to lose, and are going to fight to the end no matter what. The result isn't what we wanted, but I'm awfully proud of those guys.
And I think if you take a poll of the state of Nebraska, they are very, very, very proud of their football team this season. I think they're very proud of the effort. I think they are extremely excited about the future, all those things you feel. But let's live in the here and now for just a minute. And Nebraska, and you could see from kickoff, was going to have a tough time against Iowa. They were going to have a very difficult time trying to stop that Iowa offensive line. They were going to have a time of it at times trying to protect Adrian Martinez. So the underlying fact about this Nebraska football team moving forward, and we'll hear from Scott Frost here in a little bit on it, is the trench warfare. And you can look at Nebraska football this year, and let's count up the teams that have really good lines of scrimmage, and how did Nebraska fare against just outstanding lines of scrimmage? Well, Nebraska didn't fare so well against Michigan. Michigan's going to try and pull off something they haven't done in Columbus since 2000. And that's beat Ohio State. Nebraska didn't beat Ohio State. They're not vintage Ohio State, but the lines of scrimmage were a problem in the second half specifically stopping the run. Nebraska had no answer for Michigan. Nebraska couldn't get off the field against Northwestern. They're your Western Division champ, so I'm going to count Northwestern as a good line of scrimmage team. You beat Michigan State last week in a brawl. That was impressive. Could you get over the hump against Iowa and win a line of scrimmage game on the road? And that didn't happen. Nebraska was valiant. Nebraska found a way to get some stops. Nebraska got a break and created their own break on special teams. And for the life of me, we'll bring Mark Kranak in here. I don't get the I'm the toughest dude in the bar play call by Iowa and little Brian Ferentz, where all Iowa's got to do is kick a field goal and go up 17. Ball game. Ball game. Because Nebraska's getting the football once a quarter because of Iowa and their ability to hold on to the football, move the chains, maul the line of scrimmage, rinse, repeat. Well, Nebraska makes a play. Nebraska really doesn't get much going, but then Luke Gifford to the rescue on the fake punt inside your own 10. And Nebraska got rolling. There's your two plays of the game that flipped momentum as Nebraska really had a tough time of it in the third quarter. But Nebraska came back, 15 fourth quarter points. They tie the thing. Adrian Martinez, as you heard, man, what a play he made on that two-point conversion. What a play he made in most of the football game when it comes to just staying calm, got beat up a little bit, threw a pick, but bounced back and rattled back. The bottom line with this is Nebraska is not good enough yet to beat teams in the trenches, and that's how you win Big Ten football games. That's how you go 8-4 instead of 4-8, and that will be addressed, and that is going to get fixed by Scott Frost. That's a work in progress by Coach Duvall, and I think you got to feel good about the way they are going. Kranak, heartbreaker for Nebraska yesterday, 31-28. It looked like this was going to be another Iowa beatdown. It was 28-13. Kind of outlined the momentum swinging plays on special teams. Nebraska got rolling. Nebraska got some stops. 4th and 8, Iowa goes for it to set them up. Nebraska brings the house. You can debate that and armchair that blitz call. But Iowa made another play, and Nebraska didn't on defense. Very, very tough loss for Nebraska, but kind of par for the course with this season for Nebraska in one-score games.
Yeah, it's one of those years, man. It went by fast. It went by really fast. And I don't know if you could be more content at 4-8 than you feel right now.
I think that's a good word, yeah.
And you're not satisfied, obviously.
But
you're not thinking... But I'm just trying to think of the thing that gives me great pause going into the off season, and I can't come up with it. You know what I mean? You can't come up with that thing where you're like, oh, God, like these guys just don't get it. They're like, they get it. You're not worried about that. I feel like schematically Nebraska's got an advantage on most teams. I think they've proved that this year.
Mm-hmm.
You like what you have coming back overall. It does come down to, I mean, that's all you could, that, you know, and that's what I appreciate about Frost so far, I think, the most. He kind of says what we're all thinking. You know? Like, what were you thinking when you were watching Iowa get right in the run game again against Nebraska?
My thoughts were make it stop. Somebody make a play. Someone do something on 1st and 10 so it's 2nd and 11. Okay.
Until you kind of realize that they couldn't.
Well, right. I mean, it's not that they didn't make some plays and get some stops, but you were kind of surprised when they did. Am I wrong?
Oh, absolutely. And you saw that little surge of energy, I think, in late third quarter, part of the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And, I didn't – sometimes it's tough to tell even on the big HD. But I could swear when Nebraska had its most success, Damian Daniels was on the field.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, right? Didn't it appear that way?
No. Nope.
And what is Damian Daniels in relation to what Scott Frost is talking about? Big dude.
He's a big dude that can give you about 25 plays, but you need about 65 plays.
Yes. But you saw the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, otherwise, you saw those guys firing off the ball, and you saw that line of scrimmage move big time. When he was in, the line of scrimmage didn't move, at least not in the middle. And then you had guys able to make plays after that. So, like, what Frost is talking about is not – I feel like there's a lot of coach speak, right? You hear a lot about that stuff. Or you hear a lot from coaches where you're just sort of like, what are you talking about? Take Bob Diaco, like pretty much anything he said from October on last year.
Need a translator.
You're just like, what are you talking about? Frost is just like, yeah, we need to get a lot bigger and stronger on the line. And you're watching the game, you're like, yep, that's exactly it, dude. I mean, that's it. Do you need help elsewhere too? Absolutely. Like, the defense is not close right now to an elite group. They're just not.
They could be
average, and I think that's really all they have to be. Let's be honest.
Well, and average won't be good enough either for this head coach and this staff. And listen,
right? But that's where they have to get. They're below average right now.
No, they are. And here's the thing: the thing that I think Nebraska fans are taking away is you poured one more drink after that field goal went through and Iowa won in the rain, 31-28. Was, man, Nebraska fought back. They were right there. You needed another break for overtime to happen. It felt like Captain Kirk was just going to let this thing slip away into overtime, and then all of a sudden he's like, can't do it. They've got all the momentum. We'll lose this game. I'll get crucified for it. He's already getting crucified, or his little boy is, for their play calling. I mean, they coached to lose that game, not only with just them being conservative, but just why try and throw a dagger when a field goal will do? And it's, you go from, you get your 31, but the game's over at that point. For the life of me, I don't get. I know what it is. It's ego, and I'm Brian Ferentz, and I'm a good play caller too, and look how smart I am to put the cherry on top of this thing. But man, when it's right there to kind of finish off a team that you're allowing to have the football once a quarter, how do you fake it? How, I mean, dude should be grounded by his old man for a while. And I'm not saying take play calling duties away, but he at least deserves a spanking this morning.
Because, I hear a little animosity in your voice.
Oh, well, it just blows
me. Family in general.
But no, listen. I think they do a great job of finding talent and developing, and clearly, they're no one to mess with on the lines of scrimmage, right? I mean, did they blitz yesterday? I don't think so. They didn't have to. And Nebraska's offensive line adjusted well in the second half and protected better, but. I mean, you felt the pressure on the Nebraska offense yesterday. There's no way the defense was stopping the Iowa offense, so Adrian and company had to go score every time they had the football. That's a lot of the instances this season, right, where Nebraska lost games because the offense couldn't score every single time they had the football. And Nebraska's trading scores, and instead they get held to a three, so it's 14-10. I'll take some eggs as well. And then Iowa goes up.
You want some eggs?
I do. That'd be good. Just fry them. Good. Oh, yep. Over easy is good.
Good.
So yeah. Right. You saw the pressure. You felt the pressure. The offense had to be perfect and get seven every drive, and that's just not feasible as good as this offense is, as good as this quarterback is. And it changed a little bit in the second half, but everything flipped on that play call by Iowa, and Nebraska, yeah. Nebraska went to work with that. They made the stop first and foremost. So give credit to Nebraska, but if I'm an Iowa fan, I'm losing my freaking mind. This thing was in hand. Nebraska wasn't gonna tap out like they have the last 2 years, okay? But you could have still drilled them by 21. And Nebraska
didn't get in their head.
Nebraska didn't let it happen.
It got in their head. I mean, look at Nebraska, those first two drives offensively. You know, that teams don't do that to Iowa. They just don't. They don't just march down the field like nothing.
Mm.
And that's what Nebraska did. So I was sitting there like, whoa, okay, this thing is for real. Like, you guys aren't, hold on now. Changes things for them. Changes kind of their whole approach. I guarantee after that game, they're kind of, you know, Bill Moose said it tongue-in-cheek. Everybody's running scared. Blah, blah, blah. But Nebraska is presenting something to this conference that they have not seen. They haven't seen that offense. Right? And now they've gone through it. This is one of the toughest schedules in the country Nebraska went through, and they put up ridiculous offensive numbers with a true freshman quarterback.
They did, and I know they didn't,
you know,
they didn't win out, Mark, but Nebraska closed the season like you want to see Nebraska football teams close the fourth quarter. They got stronger as the year went on, at least offensively, and they made some plays defensively. They closed out in a fashion and form you can be proud of. I know 4-8 sucks, and it doesn't feel good, but it feels like a different 4-8, a otherworldly 4-8 compared to last year's 4-8, where everyone was ready to burn the program down.
Right? Isn't that amazing? Not all 4-8s are created equal.
They aren't. They aren't.
And I think any kind of drive-by national stories you may see this year will probably allude to something like that. Oh, natives are restless. Is Scott Frost going to be able to? Natives are not restless in any way. Natives are like, okay, cool. You guys got creatine? Okay, good. Yeah. All right.
Go to work.
You got Dave Ellis there? You got carbs? You guys doing carbs? You got those? Okay, cool. Like, get to work. Yeah, get to work. Get to work. Look, I don't think we're ever going to be satisfied if we just say that the defense is average, mm-hmm. like we were talking about earlier. We're not going to be satisfied with that, but we have to accept that in the near term. I'm convinced of that.
Well, you need two things.
We need to accept that that's how it's going to be short term.
Well, that's the infuriating part of yesterday, if you're a Nebraska fan, is you just got it slammed down your throat. You just did. And for Nebraska being able to hold Iowa to 3 points in that fourth quarter, Nebraska, bless their heart, couldn't get off the field the final drive. They did everything in their power to get back, tie it at 28, and then Iowa's able to just find ways to get down the field. It's not like the kids aren't trying. It's not like they're not doing their best. They are. They just need more time with Duvall on the line of scrimmage defensively, and they need some more dudes to come in. They just do. Here is Scott Frost, cut 6 here, Colton, on the trench warfare. He was asked about his guys getting pushed around a little bit, and Coach Frost had just a money answer.
I take a lot of things from it. First, I take that our kids are fighters. I told them in the locker room, you know, first and goal for them, down 2 scores already, not looking very good in the third quarter. They could have quit. You know, I'd heard about how Nebraska quit in some of these games last year, and there was no quitting our guys. I'm happy for them from that standpoint. What disturbs me is right now Iowa is a bigger, stronger football team. That's right now. I never thought I'd see or hear that or say that about a Nebraska football team. That we can fix. We can get bigger. We can get stronger. Give their guys credit. They've had 3-4 years, each of those players, in Iowa's strength conditioning program. We've had 1 year as Zach. You know, they leaned on us quite a bit, especially in the first half. Thought the defense did a great job responding. But I'm looking forward to the day we get that fixed where we're not going to get pushed around by anybody.
Pretty emphatic by Coach Frost. Krannick, I don't know if you heard that or not. Maybe you've seen the clip.
Yeah, no, and again, what he says, it resonates with anybody that watched it. He's not feeding you full of crap there. We all saw it. We agree. We know. And we knew coming in. We somehow, I think, kind of deluded ourselves down the stretch a little bit that this would be a better year. It would be more than four. And it's a team that could be better than that.
Sure. I mean, if we're to look at Nebraska football this year, the woulda, coulda, shoulda, I mean, they're at six or seven, right? Maybe yeah. eight wins. Mm-hmm. And that isn't putting the red glasses on. That's being fair to this team. They just – a lot of one-score games they just didn't win.
Mm-hmm. I'd six. I feel comfortable with six. Maybe seven to eight if it's a miracle season.
Mm-hmm.
But you can – I mean, I don't know. Yesterday was a different kind of angry and upset and disappointed as a fan. Because it was just about the game. It was just about that game. That's why you were upset. You know what I mean? I wasn't upset because I saw some sort of fatal flaw that can't be corrected.
Right. So your hope is a year from now, and when Iowa rolls into Nebraska, that another winter with Zach Duvall, another summer with Zach Duvall, that it's going to be Nebraska doing the ass kicking. That's what your hope is, and you think it's going to happen. He's the best there is, and he'll get this team ready for it. It's got to change, and Coach Frost knows that. That's the part that stinks. I mean, it's losing a fight is what it is.
You think about what he's building here. Frost is having, he knows that he needs to create a stout trench unit coupled with this next gen spread. That's a beast that he's building. Is it going to work?
Hmm.
I don't know. Closest approximation to it is probably Ohio State. That's kind of how they're built in some ways. A little bit more on speed with the talent infusion, but that's a pretty interesting thing that he's trying to build here. He's not compromising on size and power with his speed and spread concept. He's like, no, we're going to do both. It's like, okay. All right, dude.
Krainak, you can have your cake and eat it too. Because Nebraska was able to do that with their option offense and their speed defense. And I go back to the 90s on this. Their defense was built to stop Florida, Florida State, Miami, Colorado, Washington. That's the shift. They built the ability to be as fast and as fierce and great off the edge, despite running an offense that didn't mirror that. That's your trick. You do what you do on offense, speed and power combination, and then defensively be able to change your skin, so to speak, and stop Iowa and Wisconsin and Michigan, but also be able to hang with Purdue and Ohio State spread or whatever non-conference team you got coming up. That's just it, and it takes some time to do it.
You know, it's yep, that's right. It's a good point. And the thing I haven't necessarily made the connection with until probably actually right now is you've heard the way Frost talks about the defense this year and Chenander, where they're just like, pat them on the butt, hope you guys get a few turnovers. It's sort of the approach this year, because they're just not, they're not built to do much more. But that approach of being a sort of habit-style defense, pressure on the quarterback, turnovers, TFLs, when Nebraska switched their defense, they didn't switch their defense saying, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to be absolutely dominant and not allow anybody to do anything against us at all. They didn't say that, but that's what ended up happening. So the approach and the philosophy is actually pretty similar to that switch back then, because that's what Nebraska did do. That's what happened before we talked about takeoffs and havoc plays and havoc rate. That's what Nebraska's defense did. Created havoc. And then along the way, they also got pretty stout.
Yeah.
And then they ended up being pretty much the best defense in the country. But it did start with that approach of more speed on the field, more havoc. That's what happened. And it's, I think Frost is like, yeah, that's what we want to recreate here. We're going to need some bigger dudes, but that's what we need to create.
Do it on defense like you do it on offense. Take your thoughts. Can tweet into us at Mark Skurs, at @Schmidt_radio, at @2birds1stone. Back in action, had the last couple of days off. Kudos and credit to Nick Gregeth, Bill Hooks, and Dane Todd rocking the Real Red Reaction yesterday. And a chance for you to sound off on yesterday's tough defeat to Iowa, 31-28. Some more thoughts from Coach Frost on Adrian Martinez and recapping what 4-8 means to him. That's on the way. No rewind this hour, but we'll be sure to get in touch with Brandon Vogel and Gary Sharp. Next hour, numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Speaking of getting bigger, stronger, faster, how about Madonna Proactive? And the biggest sale of the year is going on. You pay nothing until January of 2019. All you need to do is make that phone call to Madonna. Stop by, take a tour of an incredible workout facility, 402-420-0000. 56th and Pine Lake is where they're located, madonnaproactive.org. They have cardio equipment. They have strength training. They have 130 classes as part of your membership. That's yoga. That's kickboxing. That's some TRX work you can do. Three pools, an aqua track, Lincoln's only aqua track. That's a monster current you're walking against, and it feels good. And they have a walking track upstairs if you want to get a little freaky and fire from three-point land, a great basketball facility, and pickleball if you want to side hustle. It's pretty awesome. Madonna Proactive, and when you get signed up and become a member, full access to the fitness facility, consultation with a certified personal trainer, a one-hour session with a wellness coach, and a consultation with a registered dietitian. As much as I ate Thursday and Friday, I'm going to go see that wonderful dietitian at Madonna Proactive. We're going to step away. We'll be back. More thoughts on Nebraska and Iowa. Do you have a different type of disappointment today with the loss than you have in past years or past losses to Iowa? It's four straight. Take a shot of fireball on that one. We'll be back. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, weekend edition, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranach, Colton Stone. We're back, and hope you had an incredible Thanksgiving. More football today. Ohio State, Michigan coming up at 10:30 here on ESPN Lincoln. Kranach, we can spend some more time talking here about, you know, what went wrong yesterday with Nebraska and just not enough horses up front is kind of the theme. But, you know, you look at how a team does their business. Can you stop that and or make adjustments to it? And Coach Frost very adamant that their game plan was to keep our offense off the field, paraphrasing him in the post game. Makes sense. They did that. They did a really good job of that. Nebraska got pretty damn efficient in that fourth quarter. I mean, they when the squeeze is on, they found a way to put up 15 and get some stops, make it a game. They just needed one more in the fourth quarter. What needs to change about Nebraska next year and moving forward is this may be a style that allows some yards, okay? A defensive style that allows some yards. But what teams can't do is line up and run for two bills on you. And that's, aside from Michigan State, anyone worth their salt in the Big Ten lined up and did that against Nebraska this season.
Who didn't have basically their best rushing performance against Nebraska?
Minnesota.
Okay. Yep. Ohio State did.
Mm-hmm.
A.J. Bush did.
Yeah.
Mekhi Sargent definitely did. By far, that was the most. I mean, the most he had gone is a buck 20.
No, I know, bro. And Emi went for what, 175?
Yeah, why not? Everybody, jump on in. Jonathan Taylor had a typical game against Nebraska.
Right. But you know what? I guess there's a little smile. He didn't have a Big Ten championship type game against Nebraska.
And that's the bar right now. Michigan.
Michigan went,
got right.
Went, yeah, Higdon went gangster, 285.
Yeah. I'm done with that whole thing.
But that's just it. If you're going to get yards and you're held to minimal points, fine. Even if you're giving up 400 yards a game, it's not, Coach McBride had just, the poor guy'd get hate mail for God's sake because Jeff Handy of Missouri threw for 4.25 on Nebraska and Nebraska won 52-3.
Okay. Yeah, right. Right.
Right.
Yes.
So
yes.
The point here is if teams are getting half of or most of their yards, because Stanley, 16-27, he didn't even throw for 100.5 yesterday. Maybe a little over that. I don't have the numbers pulled up, but he didn't go for 200, right? It's not like they had the play action balance going.
Yeah,
I mean the way that teams get yards against Nebraska has to change
completely. What did Nebraska touch the ball like twice in the first half? Something that felt like it. I know they touched it a little more than that.
10 points, and they had what, one drive? Didn't it feel like one drive in the third quarter?
Something like that.
Because you had the opening drive or the opening kick, and poor Mo thought that the fair catch was all good, and you down it, and then at that point, my headset would have been broken if I'm coaching, because you get a drive put together, you get a mulligan three-pointer that goes in, and you're only down 8, and you get the football back, and then
I would,
and then it's just you're on the sideline watching because they're holding onto the football and they're huddling.
You know what? This might be after this year. Is when I think I appreciate the Big Ten probably more than I have. Okay. And the SEC and the ACC. Whatever that garbage is they're playing in the Pac-12 and Big 12, I'm just glad Nebraska's not a part of it. Look, you could drop Nebraska's offense into one of those leagues and respect,
they'd be
respect
fine.
To him.
Yeah.
He'd do fine. It's just not my preference, though, right?
It's gotten a little crazy. Like, everyone loved the Rams and the Chiefs and all that was sweet. And then you have a 59-56 stalemater last night in Morgantown.
I know. That's not football to
it's,
me.
It's Madden, bro. It's Madden. It's me playing my little brother in Madden, and the guy with the football last hangs on to win 65-63.
Is it fun every once in a while? Yeah. But that's sort of what defines the Big 12. And so I don't know. After this year, I sort of appreciate, Frost, you can absolutely have that kind of offense. Basketball on grass to just get on them, you know, throw up points like crazy. But the underlying fundamentals have to be there of sort of centuries-old proven methods to win football games. You still have to employ that in the Big Ten. Frost knows that. He agrees with that, right? Like the strength and conditioning matters. The trench warfare, like you called it, matters a lot. And I don't know. I'm just, when you compare where Nebraska was and could be in some conferences and some styles versus where they're at in the Big Ten, I think I'm more accepting of the Big Ten now than I've ever been after going through this year. Pretty cool. You see a nice diversity of games. You see everything from Michigan State, and what the hell was that? Cold weather, 9-6, all about grit and fundamentals. That's all that game is. Compared to, say, Minnesota, where it's just open it up, everybody gets some. You know, it's been pretty cool. I'm more comfortable with the Big Ten now, especially after watching that crap last night with Oklahoma and West Virginia. And look, Oklahoma's offense, look, fantastic, obviously. They're really good. But don't you look at them sideways a little? Right?
Yeah, no, I do, and I think it's fun. We were at a 40th birthday party last night. We love you, Mrs. Bommert. And man, I had the Washington State game on. It was snowflakes, and the Pirate didn't look happy. And Washington State ran the football, Washington ran the football and got out of Dodge with a win. No Rose Bowl for the Pirate, which sucks. But then we flip it back over, and it's. I mean, you have a just no defense. It is optional. It is 7-on-7. It is absolutely 7-on-7. And while that's pretty cool, if you can put up 60, hold someone to 40 then, you know? And it just comes down to the Big Ten and to your point, Kranak, about how the Big Ten is beautiful, dare I say it. It is, because they can play defense, they can play some smash mouth, and there's enough ingenuity offensively and some talented athletes that they can provide an exciting brand of ball and a complete brand of football.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit here about Coach Frost as he recaps 4-8. Let's get into that real quick and kind of sum up the season. And I think this is queued up for you, Mark, so you can hear. Kranak is joining us via the at Mark Skurs Man Cave versus in studio today. We'll do cut 8. And Frost was asked, quick turnaround time from him from locker room and the goodbyes and the finality of a season to recap and share his thoughts on 4-8.
Well, we have no cut 8.
So it is 7.
It is 7?
Okay. Yeah, the recap of 4-8 with Coach Frost. Thank you.
There's a lot of emotions this season. This was a trying year for us. Again, I'll just tell you what I told the team in the locker room. I think if we could start the year over right now with the team where it is right now, I don't know how many wins there'd be, but it'd be a fun ride. It just wasn't there at the beginning of the season, and in some ways I think some of the pain we had to go through was necessary to fix things, to get their attention, to change things, to unify the team. I wish it hadn't had to happen. This team's good enough to beat a lot of people. This team's good enough to be a bowl team. So excited about the future and so grateful to these seniors for holding everything together and helping us make the changes we made.
So they went 4-8, and they are good enough to beat some but not all. And that just kind of comes down to what we've been saying this hour is Nebraska needs to be better when it comes to physically competing. Kranak, how soon can that be? How soon is now, so to speak, with you're going to get a second year? But here's what the truth is. Some, not all, some guys were in okay shape, right? I know Mick Stoltenberg and Gifford and Stanley. I know the seniors on this team that kept it together are also probably the guys that were in the weight room doing their training, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you, when you walk in the door... And we got to rewind back to December. When you walk in the door, what are you walking into? And I think there were some good strength and conditioning coaches, tremendous strength and conditioning coaches on the last staff. But I don't know that the supervision was what it needed to be, right? Let those guys do their job, make the players do their job, okay?
Right.
So
what were the standards?
What are the standards? What are the expectations?
Yeah.
And then what is the gap right now? You've had a year of Zach Duvall, which is incredible. You're going to have a second year, which is incredible. But is that getting you up to even where you kind of should be? Or are you going to be better than your opponent? I don't know how large that gap is. We can talk to Sharpie about this too.
Mm.
But that's my question is, I mean, okay, where's the baseline at? Okay.
Yeah.
And you see a difference in 4-8, same records, but different finishes, different body types, different injury reports, different energy.
A surge in the fourth quarter is what you saw yesterday.
Yes.
And you've seen that pretty regularly down the stretch. Like the team's ready to go. They look like they can play 7 quarters. You know, they're fine. They're not worn out. They're ready to go. Yeah, it is curious, like what the how much of a gap there is. I don't know. I tend to think it's been pretty significant. I think you have guys like Ben Stille who put in all the work for sure. And he looks, I mean, the dude is shredded, but he's not used to it, to being in that body either.
Right.
That's going to take him a little bit. You know, I bet you he is eating uncomfortable amounts of food right now.
Like you and I did Thursday.
Right. He's, you know what I'm saying? And not just him, but you know, there are people that are being asked to transform themselves, and it, you know, you hit a wall a little bit, and you try, and you try to figure out how to move in that new kind of the new body that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's enough guys that are going through that. And, you know, so the more the years go on, the better it'll all be, right? And it's just funny too. Just when you think about the trenches and you think about strength and conditioning, you know, Nebraska is completely reliant upon two sophomore offensive tackles.
That, right now, listen, man, and both those edge guys, Espinenza. Is freaking incredible.
Yep.
I screw his name up seven times from Sunday, and I apologize. He's really good. But, I mean, it was tough. It was tough for Hymus, but Hymus is really going to be tremendous, and he was good this year.
Wouldn't even see him on the field. You know, Nebraska's glory years, you wouldn't see Hymus yet.
No.
The dude would be getting right nutritionally and strength-wise, and you'd hear about him maybe on the scout team doing something. And he'd maybe get called up if there was an injury, but you've had to see these guys on the field.
Yeah, they've played early without much strength and conditioning or development. You're going to see development now. So I don't know.
And what's that going to look like? All I know is I saw UCF. Did you watch any of them?
I did not. I did see McKenzie's injury and about puked.
Yeah, not good. But when you watch UCF, look, they're in year three. For the most part, Heupel and staff just had to come in and not screw things up,
break anything.
Yeah, sort of like insert defensive coordinator here at Wisconsin. You know what I mean? Like the culture is the culture. Just, you know, nurture it. That's all. That's all you got to do. And I'm telling you, UCF physically looks really good, really good, because they're now on their third year of having that culture right, the expectations right, working out right, eating right, and they look solid, man. I mean, that looks like a team. Look, just looking at them physically. You can't say that about Nebraska yet. You can say that about individuals on Nebraska's team, but not collectively, not yet.
They're getting better, but it's still a ways away. And put the work in, obviously, for 19. And next year is – here's what I expect. And everyone wants it right now, and there's high expectations, and 4-8s. 4-8. All right. Nebraska played well. They got better. They have fight. Okay. That's kind of what you expect as a Nebraska fan, but you notice it's not always been the case. They get hit, and then the word was out, Nebraska will fold. Nebraska will no longer fold. Okay. That reputation's different now. Now the wins need to come. And there are some things that, along with the lines of scrimmage we're talking about. How many missed tackles did you see by the linebackers yesterday?
Too many.
Right. I mean, you just there's some guys that play their butt off and are good kids, but they got to make some plays as well. And if the defensive lineman allowed you to get a free shot at the eye back, you got to make the tackle, because I don't have the numbers, but I'd love to find out how many yards after contact Iowa had. Because that was very, very real. Coming up, Brandon Vogel, Hour 2. As Hail Varsity rolls forward, the weekend edition, Gary Sharp going to be with us. Hope your holiday weekend is joy-filled. A reminder that nothing like this has gone on before. Once-in-a-lifetime deals, and it continues with Sauter Heyman, the best, most prestigious jeweler in the area. You can save up to 60% on top quality jewelry. Never before savings like this in their store at South Point in Grand Island. Total inventory liquidation sale. Get on it now for best selection. Also, can win a free $5,000 carat diamond pendant. SauterHeyman.com.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you, Tower 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery Weekend Edition. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone. We say hi to Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Read his work, The Difference Between Nebraska and Iowa at the End of 2018. His column yesterday, Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey, did a great job with his recap. And, of course, Black Friday deals galore with HailVarsity.com and magazine. Can find out info on that. store.hailvarsity.com. Vogues, let me ask you this first. Did you enjoy your turkey?
I did, thank you. It was got together with brother and his wife and kids. So pretty small overall, but that was just fine by me. Thank you.
I had to make sure you gobbled it up. Man, were you screaming for overtime like the rest of the state yesterday?
Thought they were going to get there. Credit to Iowa for the just fourth down play call, but the execution on that one in a game like that, you know, I guess my overall feeling coming away from it big picture wise is that Nebraska was probably a little bit fortunate to be in that spot. But once you get there, then it kind of comes down to who's going to make the play. Both teams were, you know, kind of dialed it up and were aggressive on that one, and Iowa won. So they won the game. So that's kind of football in a nutshell for you.
Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Brandon, I had a laugh out loud moment reading your column, your dispatch from Iowa City last night. You called Iowa college football's auditors. Can you explain?
Yeah, you know, they're very good at, you know, they're 20 years into the current era, and they just make sure you do everything right. That's how Iowa wins football games. They tend to out-execute a lot of teams. They do what they do, and they make you check those same boxes. And it's not that, you know, teams like Nebraska or Oklahoma or any of these teams that are a little bit more high-flying offensively don't care about those things as well. They just kind of want to put their best weapon on the field. Iowa will kind of beat you with paperwork. That's make sure you got to be efficient. You got to be good on third down. You got to avoid the negative plays. And that's what they did. You know, they really dominated most of those aspects of the game.
Beat you with paperwork. That is so good. That is so, so good. And that's what's maddening is it seems like they'll just wear you out because they're just so organized and the details, and you highlighted the details. But what a difference in play calls. And you highlighted it in your story. Iowa's trying to be cute and pull the fake off. Look how smart and sexy we are with our paperwork. And then there's Frosty. We need you to get us a first down inside the 10. Don't screw it up. Ready, break. I mean, what game-changing plays on fourth downs for each team?
Yeah, you know, so Iowa's fake field goal was, you know, I understand some people probably praise Kirk Ferentz's aggressiveness, which is good. You don't often see a ton of it, although, you know, they're no stranger to trick plays on special teams by any means. But in that situation, you know, when Iowa got the ball back there on that short field and ended up down inside Nebraska's 5, I was thinking a field goal on that game's over. I don't know how much more touchdown takes that to be the case. But when they don't get it, Nebraska all of a sudden had life. You know, when the odds were not in his favor, that's when Frost chose to run his trick play. And, you know, I don't know if he had any more options at that point either. Like, going three and out there may have been about the same. But it's a matter of risk assessment, I guess, to continue this auditor / actuary path that we're on. And there's very little risk to Iowa running that play there, thinking, while Nebraska will still have to go the length of the field, Nebraska essentially, if Luke Gifford doesn't pick up that first down, then again, you're back into games probably over.
Right.
So it's just, it's kind of an interesting difference between these two approaches. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see play out going forward with these two teams. The pre-game extracurriculars were fun. You know, a lot of people spend a lot of time all week talking about, is this a rivalry or not? Well, it looked for a little bit like that. I mean, we've seen much worse between two true blood rivals over the years. But I was happy. It looked good. Let's have a little of that with Nebraska, Iowa.
Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio as we talk Nebraska and Iowa. You know, Eric Chenander gets quite a bit of gruff. Just, you know, you just look at the numbers and it's kind of easy to see why if you look at it skin deep. But what about the fact that Chenander played at Iowa as an offensive lineman, as a walk-on? So you would presume he has some of that auditor in him, right? Do you think at all that maybe this is part of Frost's plan? Is like, you know what, we need to have somebody on the staff that truly gets the Big Ten and truly gets how things get done in the trenches. Yes, it was a while ago when he played, but do you think that's part of it? And maybe we're selling that short a little bit. It's obviously nothing he could change this year or affect necessarily this year, but I think that's part of Frost's plan in any way.
I don't know if it was part of his plan, but I think it's a luxury that, you know, some of those guys on staff have. And, you know, particularly when you look at, I think both Chenander and Frost, like, you know, given when Frost played at Nebraska, he, you know, his comments yesterday about how he never thought Nebraska would kind of look this way in a side-by-side comparison when you look at the lines with Iowa, is kind of telling you, I think, a key piece of this season. And Chenander brings some of that too. You know, they were roommates for a time in Oregon. I think they're kind of kindred spirits. And I think a big part of that is their kind of shared understanding of this is what a really good, what an elite offensive line looks like. And, you know, to hear that Nebraska's not there doesn't surprise anyone. It'll be interesting to see what they look like in the season opener in 2019, however. How big of a difference can you make in another offseason? I think Nebraska will make pretty big gains.
They will. They'll go after it, and they'll need to make gains on the line of scrimmage. That's the takeaway with what Iowa was able to do on the offensive line. To follow up, Mark, and spend a little bit longer on Coach Chenander, I don't think his scheme is bad. I think the coaching up that's gone on is impressive. I think it kind of comes down to dudes. I think it just flat out comes down to dudes in your front seven and maybe even your back four. They've got some guys, but I mean, they're not playing with a full deck of cards, Brandon, are they?
No, not yet. You know, if this defense is going to be predicated on sort of the big plays, you know, and I would include any tackle for loss, sacks, of course, takeaways, they were sorely lacking yesterday. You got to give credit to Iowa. I mean, this is a good offense. They ran the ball better against Nebraska than they have against most teams this year, which is, you know, from a defensive perspective, probably the most worrisome thing if you're a Husker fan and turn the page towards 2019. That was not a rushing game, had been that dynamic. But it sure looked that way yesterday. So that's something Nebraska's going to have to get shored up. But Iowa did a really good job with the plan of eliminating, I mean, A, they didn't turn the ball over, but B, I think Nebraska had one tackle for loss. And if you allow the actuaries to go about and check all of their boxes, they're going to have problems because they understand tax law better than you, kind of what it comes down to. And you got to disrupt them with getting in the backfield and enforcing some of those negative plays. And Nebraska couldn't do that yesterday. Is that seen? No, I don't think it totally is. I think some of that just comes down to you need some guys, you need your current guys in this program a little bit longer, and you'll get some more of those.
Brandon Vogel is with us. I'm trying to think, you know, I'm trying to think of where Frost has steered us wrong, where he's given us coach speak and given us and kind of taken us down the wrong path. I can't think of that moment. I feel like he is called just about everything, right? Go to the off season. People better get us now because year two is really going to take off around here. You know, after Troy, things are going to get worse before they get better. Right. And he sort of foreshadowed Michigan is going to kick our ass, basically, you know, and then after Purdue, he's like, whew, OK, that's all behind us. We're going to be a good team now, basically. Knowing that, are you expecting a pretty significant jump next year? Not in a few years, next year, because he seems to, and from accounts, too, it seems like he told the team that in the locker room, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that, but you could go back and read those Monday transcripts and kind of get the whole season for Nebraska being told from 4 days in the future. You know, he did foretell a lot of what was going to come, and I think you can. You know, we'll see. This will be the topic for the next 9 months in Nebraska, but we'll see how big of a jump they can make. I think people are going to expect a pretty big one, and it's going to be tough. Like, I kind of keep thinking about, okay, yeah, they finished strong. They're a good team here at the end, no matter what their record says. So what's reasonable to expect? And offense, you got some key playmakers to replace. But the big question will be defense. So I guess, what are they seeing in terms of guys on the scout team, guys who came in to fill an immediate role but maybe couldn't because they got injured. There's a lot of wild cards on that side of the ball, and I think that'll maybe determine Nebraska's ultimate ceiling in 2019. But I still think a lot of their growth this season ahead will come down to offensive improvements. You know, I mean, the offense might sound a little bit strange to say, but offense looked really good in spurts, but still only average 30 points a game. That's where I think Nebraska takes a big jump next year. Yeah, they've got a couple of questions, a couple of key guys to replace, but I think they'll get more efficient. Adrian Martinez will get more efficient, and he's already pretty high. And that'll be where they really pick up some points on people.
I think you're right. With Adrian in this O-line, and, I mean, Stan will be gone, Ziggy will be gone. I thought Maurice Washington had a big-time day yesterday. And he did it catching the football on the wheel route. I mean, that is something that good luck trying to defend that. And if you get a healthy JD, he'll be good. I really liked what Nebraska did with their short passing game. Jack Stoll was money. That guy made some great catches and then got physical after the catch. I mean, they've got enough returning to be dangerous. You'll never replace Stanley. He was so good and so talented, but man, oh, man, you'll have other guys that can be weapons for you on the outside. And I love the quarterback run element of this offense. I mean, Iowa did not have an answer for Adrian. And Adrian was able to get 4 to 5 more yards per run, it felt like, when he could have been held to a 4-yard gain. I mean, he is that big a difference maker. Nebraska may have gotten clobbered on the lines of scrimmage. That sucks. I know, I get it. But Nebraska's answer to that is, well, dude, we've got a mobile quarterback and you don't. Good luck, defenses in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a good way to neutralize it as you bring those offensive linemen along and start to get them looking like Frost hopes they'll look. You can cover up some of that with the mobile quarterback. And you mentioned the short passing game, you know, probably an off-season project, but you go and tally up all of those sort of behind the line of scrimmage or basically lateral passes that Nebraska threw, and they're essentially, you know, long running plays. You're kind of just moving the handoff point, and you'd probably end up with a run pass percentage for Nebraska that looked pretty similar to some of those 90s teams, I bet.
Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Quick calculation here. I could be a little bit off by a percentage or so, but with Azigbo and Morgan departing, you're losing about 42% of your yards. Is that too much for a given year, given your kind of statistical background and looking at teams and what they're bringing back and all that? Is that too much, or is that okay?
It's a little bit high. And you know, for people who really get into to returning production, and a percentage is the way to go. You know, returning starters really isn't telling you much. So this will probably ding Nebraska a little bit for that. You know, it's not like unheard of to have that amount, but it's high. And that those are one of the big questions I mentioned, you know, in talking about the offense is that's a lot of yards. Now I think Nebraska will offset that a little bit by gaining more yards in 2019 than they did in 2018. And that's where I think you can change that math a little bit, even if you don't necessarily know some of the guys who are going to gain those. You know, Maurice Washington's gain yesterday was great. It kind of felt like an additional blossoming for him that we, you know, in addition to everything he'd done already this season to show his promise, you kind of got a sense of, well, there was no Spielman, so here's some new ways that we're probably going to use him. The second guy at running back behind him, the third guy, you know, he's got a ton of options coming in. Miles Jones, you know, there's a lot of guys who I think they brought in to fill some immediate needs that just weren't able to see the field via injuries or other things. So that's going to be a tough thing to parse because nobody has anything to go on those guys, but we know that the staff's pretty high on some of them.
Vogues, thanks for spending a few minutes with us this morning. Great stuff from Iowa City. We'll get caught up with you on, next week. Appreciate your time, bud.
All right, thanks a lot.
There he is, Brandon Vogel with us.
Schmidt.
HailVarsity.com magazine. Yes, sir.
Without looking, who out of the receivers, take tight ends, take backs out of it, receivers, who had the third most catches on the team? You know it was Morgan and Spielman that were first and second. Who was third and how many?
Yeah, oh man. Was it Washington with like 38?
No, take backs off the field.
Okay, back.
No,
you said backs.
Receivers.
My bad. So you're telling me Stoll, and I got to tell you how many catches Stoll had.
Take tight ends off too. Just receivers. Receivers, like the receiver position.
Is it Mike Williams?
Cade Warner was 17.
Okay.
Mike Williams had 12.
Okay.
And then you have to go flying up the charts to J.D. Spielman with 66.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan with 70.
What about Stoll? What'd he end up with?
21.
Okay.
And, you know, respectable. Between him and, you know, Rothdahl had 4, Allen had 2. So you got 20, you know, 27 catches out of your tight ends. But out of your receivers, it was such a top-heavy offense.
Right.
Right. Like, at least watching it from afar, it seemed like when Oregon was humming, when UCF was humming, there were all kinds of dudes getting theirs.
you still had your go-to, of course. At Central Florida with Smith, and I mean, yeah.
You had your stars, but you didn't have. I don't think it was this great of a disparity. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And I wonder if that changes around.
No, I think it could be more spread out. Absolutely. Absolutely. Can log on store.hailvarsity.com. Black Friday deals going through Monday with Hail Varsity. That's buy one, get one free on T-shirts. Buy one, get one free on magazine subscriptions. Also a free yearbook with a purchase using the coupon code free yearbook. Log on. Subscribe. You have a Husker fan that you want to get taken care of this holiday season. The mother of all Black Friday sales and specials continue with Hail Varsity through Monday. Store.hailvarsity.com. If you've been thinking about, do I subscribe or not, do it. You'll love it. You'll love all the coverage across all the platforms and sports. No one beats our team. Jacob Padilla, Mike Babcock, Brandon Vogel, Aaron Sorensen, Derek Peterson, Greg Smith. Just incredible, incredible folks that rock and do such a great job in Nebraska coverage. Our favorite, the Iron Horse, is up next. It's Gary Sharp. He'll join us with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us 2 absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7 1/2 minutes after that, you're going to bring us 2 more. Then two more after that every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Back in Weekend Edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We say hi and happy belated Thanksgiving to the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Sharpie, how are you?
Hey, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving.
So, your takeaway from Nebraska and Iowa, as close as that was yesterday, are you hung up on the fact that Iowa did what they did on the line of scrimmage? Or are you more like, okay, Nebraska battled back and almost forced overtime? What are you leaning more towards when you think of yesterday?
Well, I think my reaction to yesterday, and I think the reaction of the players and the head coach and his coaching staff, is you're angry. You're angry at how that game played out. You're angry at how the season went. I know 4-8 this year feels different, but 4-8 isn't acceptable around here. But what yesterday kind of showed all of us is during the course of that 60 minutes of football, that showed what has been good for Nebraska in the last 20 years and what's been bad for Nebraska. Let's start with the bad first. There's no doubt that when you stand on the field, and this is the thing that really it strikes you, when you stand on the field and look to your left to see one team and you look to your right to see the other, and you realize how much bigger the other team is. That's what you did this year in three games: Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa. I mean, Iowa's a gigantic team. So you already knew that going into this season, that you got to get bigger and stronger. And that's something that has ailed Nebraska for 20 years. And so in these games where they line them up and they play big boy pants football, where you pull them up above your waist, you get knocked around. And you don't have either guys to push the pile forward when you're on offense or guys to stand people up at the line of scrimmage, like you saw yesterday. And that's why Iowa pays their strength coach, you know, nearly $700,000. He's worth it. That's why Nebraska has one of the best strength and conditioning coaches in the country, because he's going to get Nebraska to that point. Then it shows you the other part of, when Nebraska has exciting, dynamic playmakers on offense, what can happen? That the times that they have been good, they haven't let down, they haven't quit, they fought. You saw that yesterday, and you saw that there is so much optimism, and Nebraska will be a trendy stop for national college football writers in the offseason because of Adrian Martinez and his combination with Scott Frost. So I know a lot of things were said after yesterday's game, and say, you know, the seniors said what they said. The biggest thing is for all the guys that are coming back next year is you can't let that senior class down, because they put it out there for you, and you've talked about it, is now year number two is the year to go get it. But I think this year there's a lot of lessons learned from this year. You already knew before you started against Colorado, and you know a little bit more after you end against Iowa, that you have to fix. The program is definitely headed in the right direction, but I was disappointed yesterday because there was another opportunity for Nebraska with a play or two playing smarter football, they win that football game. But that's what's going to happen in the offseason, guys. Bigger, stronger, smarter, this program will have to become. And if they do, watch out.
Gary, it's interesting, though, because, you know, Frost's offensive style is obviously one built on speed. And, you know, you want to get the fleet of foot guys, and you just, you know, you want to do tempo and pace and wear teams out that way. And conventional wisdom is that when you do that, you have to compromise on trench warfare, on power, on size, on girth. Yet, he seems to be taking the approach of, no, we're going to do both. we're going to be super big and strong and tough in the trenches, and we're also going to be super crazy fast. Is that possible? Like, or is he kind of doing an experiment here at Nebraska?
Well, I think it's tough for him to do it with his current makeup of the roster. And I wholeheartedly agree with you, Mark, about trying to do both with the 2018 version. I think as he looks into the future, that's what he's hoping his program will have recruited and built guys up to be, that they can go fast and they can be strong. I think it's going to take a while, but it's definitely doable. But we might be looking 3-4 years down the road. Tough yesterday is, the defense, and Iowa had a great game plan. Iowa's going to churn the clock and keep that offense off the field. And I imagine that's going to be the scenario moving forward with Adrian Martinez at quarterback in this offense, is trying to 15-play drive, which you beat 6-7 minutes off the clock to keep that offense off the field. So that's where it's going to be vital. Whether, you know, the defense definitely needs an upgrade at certain positions. They need depth. But most importantly, get off the field. either get off the field via forcing a turnover or forcing a punt. And that's something, and a lot of times yesterday, Nebraska defensively weren't able to do. It's a combination. It's going to be a very fascinating couple of months when we all sit back and we diagnose how this season unfolded and what it means for the future. But there is no mystery. Like last year, when you woke up the day after the Iowa game, you knew that Mike Riley and his staff were gone, but you didn't know where the program was going, even with Scott Frost on the way. Now there's no mystery on what ails Nebraska, and it's not like they're starting from scratch, okay, season's over, let's see what we can fix. They've been making notes all season long of what you can fix either on the fly or what you can fix with another offseason. So that is another thing that I think should be confident about moving forward, that this program has success in 2019, is they've already diagnosed what ails them. It's just not sure how fast you can get some of those fixed.
Gary Sharp's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, were you surprised at the 4th and 8, the conversion that got Iowa into field goal range to win at the buzzer? Were you surprised at the blitz going zero? And were you surprised that Kirk actually went for it?
You know what? And Iowa won despite their head coach with the fake field goal down when you're running the ball and all of a sudden you try the fake field goal. I wasn't surprised he went with it. I wasn't surprised that Shenander called for a zero blitz. What happened is when I say you got to play smarter football, you can't have a safety basically not paying much attention to the underneath, and you can't have him backpedaling. When you know it's 4th and 8 and all they need is 8 yards, you can't be backpedaling. And Iowa ran a really good play. The execution for Nebraska outside of the blitz, just didn't happen. And Hockenson, who is their most important player, made a play. But it also showed you that when you call a zero blitz, Nebraska all season long was a step late, step slow. They need to find that guy in the offseason that is going to get the passer and he's getting home. He's not being stood up and getting to the quarterback right as the ball is released. You need somebody that is there to hit the quarterback before the ball is released. I didn't have a problem with the call. That the execution could have been better from Antonio Reed.
Exactly. I mean, you just nailed it, and you gotta have guys do their job when you call it, Sharpie.
Yeah.
Well, and some of that, and I think guys did their job, Schmitty. They just didn't get home, and that's kind of been the story all season. When you're bringing the blitz, I mean, when you're bringing an all-out blitz, we might have to go back 4 or 5 years to find the last time that they were called on a regular basis where guys actually got home.
Right.
Yeah, and part of that has to do with the defensive line success too, of just keeping the offensive linemen on skates themselves to where they feel overwhelmed, and they definitely didn't feel overwhelmed against Nebraska's defensive line this year. Although curious if you noticed, Gary, there was a pretty big difference when Damian Daniels was in the game yesterday, right? With the overall defensive success.
Yep. And I've been preaching him for a while now that he's that war daddy, prototypical nose tackle, which you're not running the football against. And he's able to clog up to take a center and a guard and really help his two other mates on the defensive line and then help the linebackers. I have high hopes for him next year. I'm almost ready because you got to have another year of development out of the Davis twins. But I'm ready to put Damian Daniels as your starting nose tackle. If he gets his body in shape, I think he is the guy that you want right in the middle with that size and that strength. And you're absolutely right, Mark. When he was in there, he was a problem he clogged up a lot of stuff on Iowa. And that's exactly, when you're going against a team like Iowa, that's exactly what you want. That's kind of what this defense is. You get some playmakers at linebacker, and you get that defense, you get that nose tackle to cause all kinds of issues. You got guys roaming free that can go do the job. They don't have to worry about alignment out in their face. So I think he's our list, and I know we'll do this before long, but he's probably on the list of the top five guys that you want to see make that next jump for Nebraska to have success in 2019.
Gary Sharp, a couple more minutes with us on Hail Varsity Radio, talking Nebraska and Iowa, and the season is over, and I love what we get to do every Saturday, and that's talk Nebraska football, and even during the off season, there's plenty to talk about, and it's already here, and you blink and it's gone,
yeah.
And I know this was a different season, but let's talk Stanley Morgan for a minute. You know him, and I'm interested to get your take on just what his legacy will be. I know he's the first 1,000-yard guy, but I also know that, bless his heart, he was on some of the worst teams that Nebraska's had.
First and foremost, for people that have had the opportunity, like yourself and Mark and others, that have got to interview Stan or be around him, mm-hmm. what a treat. Yep. Here's a kid who let's first start with Stanley Morgan, the person. He's grown up before our eyes. You know, he's a little mature when he came in. He's a little shy. We didn't get to see his personality. And he kind of keeps to himself. We've been fortunate this year to see a little bit more of Stanley. But I think Stanley has grown up from an 18-year-old to, what, a 22-year-old as a person. And that's going to bode well. He's a guy also that's going to be tough to replace, not only on the field for somebody that makes catches, but also a guy that leads on what it takes to be at the top of your profession. With work ethic, whether it be on the field during practice, during games, or off the field, how you take care of your body, how you take care of your mind, how you take care of your classwork. I think he leaves a lot more than 1,000 yards in the record book. And that'll be, you know, we'll sit around and try and figure out who is going to replace Stanley Morgan. I don't think anybody replaces Stanley Morgan. Now we look for who's the next Stanley Morgan. He's been a real treat to cover for these years. And, you know, it would have been easy for him to jump to the NFL or to say, I'm out of here with everything that's gone on around him. But he stuck with it. And he'll be a guy that will be welcomed back for many, many years with open arms. And how many times have we said that about senior classes when they go through Nebraska and they play on teams that are not very good and maybe on teams that have a coaching change, we completely forget about them. There will be a lot of embracing of guys that are on a 4-8 team when they want to come back, and Stanley Morgan will be first and foremost, along with guys like Divine Zigbo, Luke Gifford, Mix Toldenberg, Gerald Foster.
Amen. Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio. That is the thing, too, when you talk about the senior classes. There's sort of an obligation every year for you to kind of tip your cap to the seniors for, you know, just going through 4 to 5 years, giving your blood, sweat, and tears. But it's really not lip service, I think, with this particular group. They remind me a little bit of the 08 group, kind of like Ty Steinkuhler, right? Your Todd yeah. Peterson and guys like that, where they really did lay a foundation in terms of kind of what's expected. Now, it didn't pan out in the end, but you do remember that group for sort of overachieving and just kind of getting through the Callahan crap and, you know, trying to set an example. These guys absolutely did that.
And you know what else benefited them, Mark? Is that this coaching staff embraced them. I think that went a long way in the locker room to Scott Frost and his staff immediately saying, those 19 seniors are our guys. They are not Bo Pelini's guys. They're not Mike Riley's guys. They're our guys, and we need them. I think some of the senior classes, when you have a coaching change the last two times, didn't feel they were fully embraced and they were given the keys to the car. I think Scott made the wise move to look at a senior class and say, we're not going to push you aside and play younger guys. We need you to help with the transition, and then we need you also to be some of the better players at your position. That went a long way, not only for that senior class to feel good about themselves, but for other young guys to see how they were treated and let the senior class lead. I think it also shows there's a bunch of really good dudes that are in that class that after yesterday, they're talking, you know, they've already talked about themselves as a group, but they're starting to talk about the young kids that are on this team and what it means to the future, man, that goes a long way into the insight of how much the culture has changed Nebraska in a short amount of time.
Sharpie, we'll get you out of here on this, and I want to pick your brain on Nebraska basketball. I didn't talk with you last week about it, and big-time opportunity for Nebraska this week. It didn't go so well as Texas Tech thumped Nebraska. Coach Miles and company tip off today at 1, and I know you've been on the road with UNO. But you keep your eye on Husker hoops as well. Clemson looms Monday. Where's this team at right now? Is it okay to reset and okay, lesson learned? Got to get a little bit more dog in you and be more physical? Or is this a sign of things to come against teams that are just more physical, i.e. what happened against Tech?
I know what the sentiment is, Schmitty,
mm-hmm.
but let's just all, it was one game. Texas Tech was shot better. They made shots. They got after Nebraska. They got their shorts. They disrupted Nebraska. Texas Tech played really well, so let's give some credit to Texas Tech. But I know the sentiment because, uh-oh, here we go again. There's so many expectations. Nebraska wasn't going to go unbeaten. Now, I'm not going to overreact to Texas Tech unless it's real clunky today. Whether it's clunky on Monday in Clemson, how Nebraska with a veteran team responds? Because as a head coach, who I've said, get out the way and let these guys play, how do they respond as a collective group to what happened on Tuesday? Because, you know, they got punched around. I mean, they got beat up a little bit. And now, what do they do when they come out against Western Illinois? Western Illinois is lower into the Summit League, but they have a 7-foot of the shot block. They have a pretty good guard. They're going to be very competitive against Nebraska. Watch today, and I think you'll get a good sign of where Nebraska is. But you're right. The schedule gets very interesting if you want to go out and continue to prove yourself. As you go Clemson, and then you got the start of the Big Ten on the horizon with Illinois, and then you got Minnesota, and then you got the Big D 2 weeks from today. You got Creighton come to town, which is a must-win this season. So let's see how they respond today. Let's see how they respond on Monday. I think they'll respond okay. And you might look and go, okay, there's going to be points during the season where Nebraska's going to lose basketball games like that. But they respond accordingly. But they just get a reminder that it's not going to be a pastry to the NCAA tournament this year.
Right. Sharpie, have a great weekend, man. Thanks for the insight as always, bud.
Hey, thanks, guys, as always.
Take care. There he
thanks,
is.
Gary.
The Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Yeah, I mean, you had folks that were elated with the win with Michigan State, Nebraska last weekend. It's been a really fun crossover, Cranack, where people are geeked about football and it's a holiday week, so things are a little crazy, but basketball's alive and well, right? And then that happens Tuesday where you just get embarrassed by Tech and then everyone's ready to jump off the basketball bandwagon and Iowa punches you in the junk and beats you by a 3 at the buzzer in football. So,
you know, what's funny about the basketball team so far. I haven't seen that kind of unquestioned leader of the team yet. If the closest thing to it is probably Copeland.
Right. No,
now.
I gotcha.
But I'm not sure that's his nature. I don't know. I think that's what they're missing, though, is some sort of on-the-court general.
Right.
I think they're all capable. Like, individually, talent-wise, they got plenty.
Oh,
they got plenty to work with.
Yeah.
Plenty. Most talented team that we've seen since the Lou days.
Absolutely.
Right? But there's something missing, right? I don't know. But it doesn't feel like it's something that is going to be a glaring miss for the whole year. I think it should be Glenn Watson. I think that should be your dude that is getting that team right, that's yelling at his team, that's picking up his team, that's getting after it defensively. I think if he gets right, that rest of the team will.
Well, I don't know, and you nailed it. I mean, who's the voice on that team? You've got options to score. You've got a ton of talent, but who's going to get everybody together? That's a great question and a good point by Sharpie. How do they come out today? Is it all better or is it a struggle? What remind you about Click It or Ticket? Something's got to stop your motion and airbags sometimes aren't enough. I'm talking about when you're in that accident and the seatbelt can save you from the windshield and prevent excessive injury when your body and your automobile need to slow down in a hurry. So that applies to the driver's seat, the back seat, the passenger seat. Buckle up. Click It or Ticket, a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. A quick timeout. We'll say goodbye. A weekend edition of Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Cranack.
One final time, weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Cranack, and Colton Stone. Give us a follow on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, at Mark Skurs, at @2birds1stone. And I knew it was over. I just felt like Nebraska had come all the way back. They tied things up. And you just got to bat. I don't know about you, Kranak or Colton, but once Iowa got one of those conversions and then they got to the midfield and you just felt like you weren't going to get a break twice with Iowa clanking a field goal. Because when he missed it inside his own 20, I couldn't believe it. So it was a games of ups and downs. And every Black Friday, I watched the Nebraska game with my buddy Iowa Russ, dear friend. He's from just outside Iowa City. And he was ready to strangle dad and son in the headset. He was so pissed at the play calling and just he didn't get it. Run the football. And he's in a Husker den full of we were at Jaybird's house yesterday and everyone's wearing red and they're all just like, "What's your coach doing?" It's like, "Don't remind me." It was a little rough, but good holiday weekend. We had some brisket. I'm still in a meat coma, but it was a good time. Did you fire up the world famous Kranak chili?
No, I need to do that. There's still time yet this weekend. I like to do it with leftovers.
So a little, turkey chili?
Throw everything, throw all your leftovers.
Okay.
I'm talking stuffing. I'm talking corn. I'm talking turkey. Whatever. Treat that like it's the beef and make a chili out of it.
Okay.
Uh-huh. It works, man. I'm telling you.
Can you take a picture of your chili, the concoction you're going to make this weekend, because it's supposed to snow 7,000 feet to the next 24 hours.
I know. That's what'll be great. But
can you tweet out a picture? I mean, we brag about this world famous. And it is famous on O Street. You've won awards.
I mean, it's out of Rourke's. I mean, I'm engraved for eternity as long as they're open.
Some people have their name carved into a table there. You have your name on the wall there.
Yeah, on a trophy, on a cup.
Right, like the Stanley Cup of chili.
Similar, equally prestigious.
What I'm saying is tweet out a picture of your goodies.
All right, see what we can do.
All right.
We'll see what we can do. If I get around to it. There's a lot of good football on. I kind of don't want to be in front of a stove.
Don't forget, an hour and a half, Ohio State, Michigan, right here on ESPN. Lincoln Kranak, you're awesome, bud. Have a good weekend.
You as well, sir.
Colton, good stuff, brother. Thanks for spending time with us this morning. The podcast will be up if you missed it with Hail Varsity Weekend Edition. Back at you Monday at 4. Thanks for tuning in.